Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High that we're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promise times of refreshing are upon us. The time to rediscover the ancient truths. The time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten by truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, as he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things, precious truths, that men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light. When all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed. When indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to the light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah.
Yes. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed, we are back again for another episode. Another very, very, very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Edemiah, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Indeed, very thankful, so very thankful to the Most High, this opportunity to be back with you again to speak these very precious words. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, directly has he told me, that I must tell you things, yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. Men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and indeed, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. Long ago, the Most High told me some of the biggest lies have been told to hide some of the greatest truths. Every lie, every hasty conclusion men draw is an obstacle against discerning, an obstacle against discerning the greater dimensions of divine will. The Most High says nothing without purpose, my brothers and sisters, and everything that he grants us opportunity to know from him is an opportunity toward discerning a greater dimension of the wisdom he would yet reveal. Blessed are those, my brothers and sisters, who know this. For the Most High has told me that surely, beyond the variant misideals of men, and I say misideals because it should be pretty obvious that in a world of some 45,000 variant denominational beliefs and allegiances, that there's a need to seek the Most High for his gift, for his merciful gift, his gift of grace. And trust me, my brothers and sisters, the word for grace and the word for mercy are one and the same. It is indeed a very merciful thing, a thing of great kindness, that the Most High would reveal to his people. I said that he would reveal to his people what is the truth of his will beyond all the many multitudes of partial, tainted, polluted, intrusive, fallen standards, after which men have become, in this world, strangely, and I dare say even irreverently, satisfied. To revere, to respect, to have faith in the Most High is not unto the retention of so many varied man-made imaginations, debates, and doubts. Faith, my brothers and sisters, 2,000, 2,100 years ago, if you will, faith in the time of Abraham was always a matter of trusting the Most High to reveal his way of righteousness unto life beyond all the varying misideals, seeming wise unto men, as it is written, Proverbs 14:12. 16:25, 28:9 in Proverbs. Many are the ways that seem right unto men, but the ends thereof, my brothers and sisters, are not life, not the way of righteousness, not the way of peace. A multitude of discordant ideals after the imaginations of man have not been a fruitive thing. Man must learn again that whoever would call upon the name of the Most High, it is his duty, I repeat, his duty, to do what the scriptures command as wise. Messiah at Mark 12, 29 through 31 in Deuteronomy, reflecting Deuteronomy 6:5-6, related as the utmost, most important commandment of all. Relatively relating, therefore, what is and what must be the heart of every man. He said, as the Most High is one. As the Most High is one. Hear, O Israel, all you who would call upon his name to uphold it. The Most High is one. He is not divided after the varying misconceits and imaginings of man. He is not double-mindedly destabilized after the multitude of variant ideals of man, which could never bring forth mutual understanding. Hear, O Israel, all of you who will be true to the pure, perfect will of the Most High, will be true to his name, true to the contract, the covenant, upon which his name is signed. Hear, understand, learn what is obedience, be disciplined, comprehend what it means to say the Most High is one, and that we must love him, seek him with all our minds, all our hearts, all our souls, all our might. Well, my brothers and sisters, there are those who, after the many flattering standards of men, there are many who have not understood how pertinently important. I said how pertinently important is that command. My brothers and sisters, I dare to tell you that whoever does not have it in his heart to seek all that is the pure, perfect will of the Most High is yet under sin. There's a need, my brothers and sisters, to understand the purpose of man, man created to resonate only, ultimately, the thoughts of his maker. Did you hear me? That sounds strange to you. I would call attention to such scriptures as those at Genesis 2 and 7. Genesis 2 and 7 says, the Most High breathed or inspired inspirited or breathed into man, the breath, the spirit of life, and man became a living soul, a living being. My brothers and sisters, Most High does not have a temporary concept of life. But man was given, my brothers and sisters, in the beginning, before he allowed himself to be tempted otherwise. What man was given, my brothers and sisters, is the spirit of the Most High, whereby man might commune as one in the mind of the Maker, created as a habitation. The scripture says in the book of Ephesians in the 2nd chapter, created as a habitation for the Holy Spirit, the pure, perfect word and mind of the Most High. Not, my brothers and sisters, twisted, disheveled, after the misideals of another. The Hebrew word there, he said he breathed in the man the breath of life. The Hebrew word is neshama, having in it many very powerful concepts. Neshama, my brothers and sisters, having in it the Hebrew words per se as root, the Hebrew word nakam, the word shem, the word shema, the word ama, just to name the principal few. One scripture said that by faith in the Most High, seeking deliverance beyond all the misconceits of man. Nakam, same word for what is written when it says, comfort ye, O my people. I used the Greek word in the latter testimony, metanoia. But in every case, it means, my brothers and sisters, that if our faith in him is in him who is the Most High, supreme above all, that our faith demands that we constantly seek the Most High for a refinement. Every contradiction, every disagreement, every form of misrepresentation that has embraced the hearts of men. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters, that we must seek the Most High to resonate his thoughts beyond all the misconceits of man? Man, the Most High gave to man initially a spirit at which man could communicate with the Most High and to even replenish if you are, let's just say, send forth the mind, the conscience of the Most High throughout the earth, that the conscience of the Most High have dominion. And no, my brothers and sisters, that never related to the idea that man should divide the earth after a multitude of variant misideals, which could never be peace. It meant, my brothers and sisters, that man was created to even replicate, if you will, in this earth, the mind, the honor, the majesty, the magnificence, the attunement, unto a constant atonement, at one-ment in the Most High, the mind of Yah. The word for atonement, for forgiveness, relates also to the concept of atonement, meaning that if we are separated from that initial conscience, we must seek in all things to be restored to that which in some way we have forgotten. To seek and choose then what is better. I repeat, to seek and choose then what is better has always been the greater commandment unto man. I said it's always been the greater commandment unto man. Scriptures talk about in the book of Romans that Most High gave man the power of choice, ultimately, that he might, hopefully that man might choose to do what is good. I want you to understand the meaning of that, my brothers and sisters. Man time, for a long time, it's not considered a fact. I want you to hear me closely. Has not considered the fact that this matter realm in which men exist today did not, let me repeat this again, did not have to come into existence. Which shall men say was first, the spiritual or the material realm? My brothers and sisters, I've talked about this many times in the course of my shows over the course of years. And what I will repeat to you again is this matter state in which man lives was not first. It was not the initial way. In fact, I know it's going to sound hard to say this, but this matter state was not even the initial creation, part of the mind of the Most High. This matter state is a fall away from the higher conscience of the Most High, which is why the Most High gave to man his spirit, to raise his conscience, to be able to commune beyond his flesh, beyond his carnality, beyond his personal, if you will, lusts. And man might be able, my brothers and sisters, to commune and agree with the Most High, even to collectively cooperate in the mind of the Most High. I can see some might ask the question, how then did this matter state come to be? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, is that for a long time, for a very long time, Most High commanded a thing, and there was no one anywhere to say no. Till someone did decide to rebel. And it was rebellion wrought out of pride, my brothers and sisters. He was one time considered a very high angel. If you will, even had angels under him. Well, one time he decided he was going to do something, and he didn't ask the Most High first, imagining that he already understood all he was required to complete, all that is divine will. And he made a mistake, my brothers and sisters, not remaining constantly in contact with the Most High to follow necessary instruction. And upon being reproved, I said upon being reproved by having walked not true to necessary instruction, he chose to rebel in his pride. Book of Ezekiel speaks of it. And it talks about how the one we can call the adversary was called perfect in all his ways. Did you hear me? Perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. My brothers and sisters, man should never, do you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Never rebel against opportunity to hear discipline from the Most High. He should understand the Most High, his very name, when he says he is a great I am that I am, says that he loves order. He loves what is peace. Discord is not one of the attributes of his name, not an attribute of who he is. It is when man collectively choosing to do what the Most High reveals is right is brought to bear, that the Most High is honored. We live in a world today, my brothers and sisters, and many have not understood the scriptures of Isaiah, for instance, the 64th chapter. Carnal eyes and ears have not seen or discerned the glory, the honor, or what Most High has planned for those who love him. And by and large, my brothers and sisters, because of the variant misconceits that today have become the nations. Isaiah 64, you come down and melt the mountains. Heaven help us. Oh, the hardness of men's hearts after allegiances after which men never having the right. And I want you to hear me. Men never having truly a right to rule. Have dissuaded the hearts of men after various misconceits and fallen standards. Misorder, which never was meant to be. I want you to understand what I mean by that. No one was ever given the right to dissuade a mind against the will of the Most High. Man was commanded from the very beginning always to seek the exceeding will of the Most High, that the Most High always might be rightly represented. How did man come to follow after many forms of misallegiance? Man didn't seek the Most High to love him and trust him enough. Man didn't want to believe, never having seen per se. Well, angels did the same. Angels having not seen the repercussions of turning away from the way of justice, the way of truth. Did not perceive, my brothers and sisters, what would be the end result. Scriptures talk about the angels that first rebelled. Look at 2 Peter, 2 Peter. It says the angels that disobeyed remain in chains to this day, awaiting judgment. Man, the same, my brothers and sisters, not discerning what it is to fall away from righteous order, did not realize that the end result is that man has been left in this world astray from the way of initial divine righteousness and peace since the dawn of human fall. All this, so much I need to talk to you about, my brothers and sisters, so much. I ask the question, who put it in man's mind at any time to presume having a right not to love the pure perfect will of Yah, whose love is ultimately for the good, peace, cooperation among men, that this earth might honor him who is one? I find it amazing, my brothers and sisters, the men have presumed it somehow a right to imagine a license to imagine falsehood, to imagine misconceits that divide the people under false rule, sometimes self-righteous ambitions that many might have control over other men. I know what the Most High told me long ago again. No one has the right to dissuade or stagnate mind. And every time that men have given their allegiance to trust in as if they were the ad infinitum authority, any fallen standard, it has been potential unto blind in the mind, my brothers and sisters, potentially even forever. Matthias, they called it Matthew, says ultimately, if we understand it well, that man, my brothers and sisters, is in error, even under potential condemnation, if he does not seek first all that is the pure, perfect will of the Most High. And that man is a false prophet, even allied after, I want you to hear me now, the designs of the wicked, the lawless, those who prefer unrighteousness, those who have no love of the truth, who don't have it in their heart to want to choose what is right, what the Most High reveals is right. Man is counted, my brothers and sisters, wherever there is not a whole heart to see all divine will brought to bear. Yohanan, John, 15:14, you're my friends if you do everything that I command you. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hey, the Most High, his name, my brothers and sisters, is the verification of a monumental contract. He does not deny, my brothers and sisters, his nature. He does not deny his attributes. He does not deny his promise toward what must be. If we read the book of Ezekiel, we will find Ezekiel in particular, the 20th chapter. There is scripture there that specifically says that the day must come that the rebels, I said that the rebels must be removed from among the people, that he bring forth unto himself, I'm talking about Ezekiel 20 and 38, that he bring forth unto himself a people who will be stably true to all that is his pure, perfect will and love. I'll give you an example, Ezekiel 20 and 38. He said, I'll purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I bring, he's talking about his people, forth out of the countries where they have sojourned, dwelled. And my brothers and sisters, of those who are rebellious, he says they shall not enter the land of Israel. And you should know that I am the Lord. What this means, my brothers and sisters, is that whoever would forsake the way of righteousness has no right unto the holy name, nor the holy kingdom. For his people, the people of the Most High, that he will bring forth out of the countries, or out of the midst of all the nations, that they will inhabit his holy kingdom. They are those who, my brothers and sisters, who will trust. I want you to hear me. Who will trust the Most High. Who they understand in his very name means that he delights in order unto peace. Delights in cooperation and reason unto people, unto peace. His people, as the scripture said in Isaiah 1, 18 through 20, it says, come, let us reason together. Reason together toward what is wise. If you do this, you will eat of the good of the land. But if not, my brothers and sisters, it says, he said, many will be delivered to the sword. And the Most High has spoken it, promised it, meaning that he has promised peace, my brothers and sisters, not in the preservation of global misconceits, but that the misconceits of man be exposed and put to shame. I said the misconceits of man be exposed and put to shame, that the Most High might have the honor that he is due. I want you to think about something. The adversary upon carrying with him a rebellious heart, the end result, my brothers and sisters, of something choosing to be antithetical, if you will, against the highest vibration of the spirit, the highest vibration of the spirit having no contradictions in it. Another being, my brothers and sisters, antithetical, an adversary, an opposer. His oppositions, my brothers and sisters, if you will, wrought the manifestation of this material realm. A lesser vibration, kind of like looking at steam slowed down to matter, water, slowed down even more, ice. Well, though I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, two beings at the highest vibration of the spirit are just as solid to one another as is, as this material realm seems to man. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that that lesser dominion after matter, after flesh, the adversary saw that his that what wrought as a result of rebellion, he saw that as a form of victory, knowing the Most High delighted in nothing of it. I want you to understand what I'm saying. The book of Genesis talks about in the beginning, the Most High made heaven and earth. Well, I want you to understand. That word for heaven there, Shamayim, In the beginning, the Most High made, if you will, my brothers and sisters, all things to conform to his perfect will. And that means that if this, since this earth, our material realm, came to be, he also wanted it to conform to his will. Shamaim, the word for heaven, comes from the root word Shema. I said I was going to say something about the that word Neshama. Well, to make a long story short, my brothers and sisters, this earth was created to conform. What the Most High did in the midst of this matter, the Most High created to conform to him. The scripture says, the earth was without form and void. Tohu vohu. Heaven help us. It means something, my brothers and sisters, having no order, not consistent to initial divine will. We'll call it a glob of mess. But the Most High, seeing no beauty in the midst of it, sought to create beauty. And after creating all the things in the heavens that we see in this material realm, the Most High created man for one ultimate purpose, to resonate the mind of his maker. As the Most High, who anciently was called the Lord of light and matter. Oh, an ancient concept that existed before there was even Abraham. The Most High was called the Lord of light and matter. One of the very first monotheist religions, some call Zarathustrianism, had a principle where they called the Most High the Lord of light and matter. Did you hear me? My brothers and sisters, Lord of light and matter. Meaning that man was created, my brothers and sisters, to still be governed by a higher sense of conscience, a higher vibration than is his physicality. Ancient premise was called good thoughts, good deeds. That man would help, even be a servant, a righteous servant unto his maker, even for the good of mankind. Did you hear me? Even for the good of mankind. Even for the good of divine purpose. If he would keep his thoughts, as the scripture said in Isaiah 26, stayed upon the Most High himself. Errant thoughts, my brothers and sisters, lead to errant deeds. The scripture says, goodness of the ancient concept among the ancient texts speak of the Most High, commanding unto the Most High for his good thoughts unto good deeds. What is it then that caused man astray? How about an errant pattern of thought? As if man had a right to disrupt order. Our brothers and sisters, I will tell you very simply that man simply not having it in his heart to see the perfect will of the Most High brought to manifestation has always been considered sin. Not the purpose for which man was made, but the adversary dared to say that if the Most High made man, that he would get man to mock the Most High to his face. I want you to think about something. In the book of Hebrews, in the 6th chapter, it says we should leave the elementary and go on toward perfection, seeking all that is the perfect will of Yah, recognizing that the Most High says nothing without reason, seeking all that is his will. And it says if we do otherwise, we crucify the Son of Yah again and put him to open shame. Wow. Well, I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, man choosing to do what the Most High commands man to do, not fall into temptation. I want you to hear me now. Not fall into temptation. That is what gives honor to the Most High, and that the Most High gave man a right to choose, if you will, or the power, if you will. Maybe it's a little better to choose. But in choosing to do rightly, you ever heard that phrase? Obey the Most High and shame the devil. Well, my brothers and sisters, that has always been, if you will, the gambit that this entire human experiment has been about. Adversary says that man will not obey the Most High. And the Most High said he would have a people that will. What did he say to Abraham? But he said to Abraham to seek all that is his perfect will. Did you hear? And his children, those who have that same faith, faith beyond all the controversies, contradictions, misrepresentations of man, will be a blessing, a healing, an atonement, the hope for forgiveness of mankind. With the Most High. And if you read Genesis 17, 1 through 9, and read all the way out to the 18th chapter, my brothers and sisters, that statement was made before there was an Israelite, meaning that Abraham was to be a reconciliation, ultimately that all nations might come to one understanding and the only hope of peace. I said the only hope of peace. It's important, my brothers and sisters, that we don't forget this, because it's after the various allegiances that man has had to the many nations that he has somehow felt that he has not had to love them or seek the Most High for all his will. But what did Messiah say in Matthias 28, 18 to 20? He said, go forth, he said to his disciples, those be anointed of his spirit, spirit that teaches all things and brings all things to considerate remembrance. He said, go forth and teach all nations, because all authority from on high, from heaven unto this earth, he said, had been given unto him. So go forth. This was mercy, my brothers and sisters. So he said, go forth. This was grace, my brothers and sisters. This was kindness, my brothers and sisters. He said, go forth and teach them to do everything that he has commanded. Unto the honor of the Father and the Son, by the power of that Holy Spirit that teaches all things. And you say, my brothers and sisters, this word of wisdom restored unto all nations, Messiah giving his very life, that men might have power to discern again what is the way of righteousness beyond all misconceits. Brothers and sisters, it was called the dispensation of grace. Because surely, my brothers and sisters, no heart unwilling or no heart that is not willing to seek all divine will made manifest is worthy unto the holy kingdom of Yah. As the Most High is one, he wants his people to love and seek him with all the minds, hearts, souls, and might. That there be peace, my brothers and sisters, that there be reason amongst our people. But the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, no two disagreed can enter into or have constant residence in a holy kingdom. It would not be peace. And my brothers and sisters, peace, agreement, after one standard, true to the Maker, honorable before him and honorable for the good of all, that what the Most High always promised. We live in a strange world today, my brothers and sisters. Some people go even as far as to say, well, we don't have to love all the will of Yah because they have men have their subordinate allegiances, political allegiances, national allegiances, religious, social and cultural allegiances. My brothers and sisters, did anybody ever have a right to establish anything that would cause the minds of men, which the Most High created man for his purpose? Did man ever have a right, any man have a right to create anything, my brothers and sisters, to cause men to even presume that they were right in any way or had a right in any way to rebel? My brothers and sisters, there will not be universal peace across this world till all mankind. I said there will not be universal peace for all mankind to all agree in one love, one allegiance, one understanding, true to the one Most High. 1 Corinthians, 10th verse, in the name of the honor of the one Most High, we must all speak How about believe, teach the same thing with one understanding, no divisions amongst us? How many of my brothers and sisters amongst those who call, say they are believers today have held true to that ideal, have held true to seeking beyond whatever might be our misgivings for the good of one another? Oh, did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? When the scripture talks about the idea that we must love one another, knowing that Yah is love, it means that we must seek the Most High, that none is left lacking. We must pursue the pure, perfect word of truth. And that is a unilateral command of all. All must be willing not only to seek the Most High, but also willing to hear him. Choosing to give of themselves as a living sacrifice, as the scripture says, unto renewing of the mind, holy, acceptable unto the Most High. I'm talking about Romans, my brothers and sisters, in this scripture in Romans, Romans 11, 25 to 27 through 12 and 4. My brothers and sisters, it says Messiah will return to redeem, to deliver them who would turn from transgression. How about them who turn from, my brothers and sisters, all institutionalities of man that has caused men to can somehow consider himself wise, faithful, in transgression, lawlessness? My brothers and sisters, I have a simple question. If it is divine law that is to be abolished, how does man escape the misadministrations of man? Let me repeat that. If it is divine law that is to be abolished, how does man escape the misadministrations of man? I see we have a problem here. The scriptures actually, when it says, Yah, the Most High so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Scripture before, and it said, in the beginning was the word. In other words, in the beginning was a promise, an idea, a principle. And that principle is like the light of life, an invariant ideal and standard unto life. That means whoever believes in him. I didn't say man's overlays. I didn't say the variant misinstitutions of man. Man believing in him as he reveals himself is empowered. Didn't scripture say to become the sons and daughters of Yah, the sons of Yah, those disciplined by him? Those who believe in him. Well, if we look at the scriptures very closely, what we find is the Messiah ultimately gave his life. We need to read closely Acts 2nd and 3rd chapter. That men discern beyond all the misrepresentative, misideals of men and nations. Faith in the Most High, as he is not according to the variant contradictions of man. Oh, if they told you the truth, they would tell you, that Messiah comes to ultimately expose every fallen standard the men have trusted. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, Rome did what they could to blind man of that concept so that men, my brothers and sisters, might remain subject to the polytheist pagan misconceits of Rome. Let me see if I can explain that for a minute. Long before Messiah was born, decades before, Rome came into Jerusalem and slaughtered the priests and established a puppet priesthood in so many ways compromised after Roman ideals. Even as much as the scripture said in the 19th chapter of Yohanan and John, that they said they had no king but Caesar. The problem with that, my brothers and sisters, Caesar was a pagan. Caesar was polytheist, did not have any respect for any constant ideals. standard from the Most High. So Messiah ultimately then gave his very life speaking above or from above the higher standard of the Most High, that men might realize the need to exceed all the fallen standards. All the misallegiances of man when he said all power, all authority, all jurisdiction. And jurisdiction from on high, given honor to his father, and being given unto him. I want you to think about something for a minute. In the book of Jacob, they call it James, it says, though we be scattered among the nations, tempted after all manner of licentiousness among the nations, tempted by all kinds of lawlessness, that should say totally undisciplined activity and thoughts among the nations, the scriptures still tell us what? That in following after the way of righteousness, enduring beyond temptation, how about choosing what is right, the Most High reveals, in spite of the license, false license, given after the varying ideals of men. He said, our faith must be persevering ultimately. Did you hear me? Steadfast, if you will. That faith in Yah, trusting that his ways are righteous. Our faith, beyond all the contradictions, double-mindedness, debates, and doubts of man, must bring forth a perfect work. I ask the question, shall man say that the Most High should be satisfied with the unbelief, the hard-heartedness? Any standard, my brothers and sisters, that does not seek to complete all that is divine will? The nations of the earth, my brothers and sisters, complicit after the varying designs of men, perceptual levels of men, or cause men to believe that they have a right somehow not to seek all divine will. And Messiah did no less. Did you hear me? One scripture said he was tempted by all things, but yet he did not, let's just say, submit to do evil. Well, as far as that temptation scripture, the idea about temptation is concerned, scripture talks about what was the temptation in the wilderness in Ezekiel 20th chapter. Much is said about it in Hebrews 3rd to 4th chapter, but a lot of this, my brothers and sisters, that scripture is not taken into consideration. Man seeking to find some kind of license for the hardness of his heart. Man seeking to have some kind of license, saying he's born into a world, yes, astray, but somehow feeling like he has a right to go along with that aberration. Well, I'll simply say this to you, my brothers and sisters. Faith in him who is faithful cannot be unto something vacillating. Scripture says the gift, the grace, the kindness of the Most High, I'm talking about 1 and 17, Jacob James. The gift of Yah, every good and perfect gift, comes from the Father of light, in whom there's no variableness, no shadow of change. Oh, my brothers and sisters. That means the Most High wants to stabilize his people, that they not be so easily fallen after the ideals of another. They're granted opportunity to know the difference. Man, we count it precious. Did you hear me? The knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of what is righteousness, the knowledge of what pleases the Most High, count it. Listen here, my brothers and sisters. Count it very precious. A thing having great worth, that man might serve his maker, that he might be true to divine instruction, that man might learn how not to lie. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, we are admonished, for instance, in the second caper, to be very diligent to seek all righteousness if you want to being chosen unto an opportunity to see the truth, that we be sure unto a place in the holy kingdom to come. We should be very diligent for wisdom, seeking after all that is the sure word of prophecy. But we are warned in the midst of those scriptures, my brothers and sisters, that there had been many false prophets not teaching the fullness of the word, promising liberty, promising redemption, but not according to all the Most High declared. Second chapter of Second Peter. And we are warned, my brothers and sisters, that as angels did not hold true to initial conscience and were cast into chains for judgment, my brothers and sisters, man too, must give consideration to that example. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, the promise of peace can only be manifest when man granted the opportunity to know the truth, hold steadfast to that opportunity. I can only tell you that when man chose to rebel or chose to be allow himself to be deceived in the garden against him who had set so much beauty and awe, so much beauty and magnificent order in the earth, when man chose to disobey, my brothers and sisters, when man chose to disobey, not trusting the Most High, not having faith in the wisdom of the Most High, not hearkening to the admonishment of the Most High against discord. My brothers and sisters, man turned from order, turned toward discord, and there's been discord ever since. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, Messiah returns. It says in Isaiah 59th chapter, particularly 19 through 21, reflected as latter-day prophecy, Romans 11, 25 through 27. Messiah comes from a people who will turn from these, let's just say, various transgressions, lawlessnesses, will turn from disobedience, who will return to the Most High according to the way of righteousness. He said, them he would deliver. And my brothers and sisters, get me right about this. The scripture says in Colossians, to show you another example, it says, while we were yet enemies, Messiah died for us. But what it means right after it says that every man be made true unto perfect in all good works. It says even that be exposed or put to shame the various principalities and powers of man, the various institutionalities of man that are divided because they don't seek his perfect will. That we are to set our minds on things above, not allowing half-hearted ideals of men to turn us against what is right instruction and the holy commands. But there are those amongst us, my brothers and sisters, who would say that there are various allegiances performed after the Most High. Well, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you, when the scriptures talk about salvation by faith, it is always saying that we must always seek the Most High to do, learn and do what is better. Anything else, my brothers and sisters, is fall from the principle of peace, fall from the expectation, fall from faith, fall from being faithful and true unto the Most High, unto the manifestation of what the Most High has promised in peace. And ultimately, if it was spoken rightly, the scriptures are actually saying that our steadfastness in what the Most High has declared is the assurance of the things not yet seen. My brothers and sisters, we are cautioned to be faithful in an opportunity to perceive the truth. Scriptures over in Hebrews. Hebrews 10th chapter. The righteous shall abide, remain steadfast in faith, always seeking Yah, the Most High, the Holy One of Israel. Beyond, I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. Men have sought to establish many self-righteous standards. And the end result, my brothers and sisters, is not an agreement. It's not even a holy covenant. There are none of the aberrant thoughts of men in a holy covenant, my brothers and sisters. Holy means ultimately pure and faithful to one. If man, my brothers and sisters, believes that the holy covenant is being interpreted according to whatever seems wise to men, we have a very serious problem. But there's no covenant in that at all. Oh, I want to get in a little bit into this idea about what are the commandments. What is the instruction of the Most High? What is the Lord's Prayer, my brothers and sisters? Have man been true to it? Many say they keep Torah. Many say they keep the law. Why is there no order in the earth? I want you to consider something. What really happened that Messiah prophesied of, and even all the prophets prophesied of, when Rome came into Jerusalem in 70 AD to destroy the meeting place? I said to destroy the meeting place that was Jerusalem, the meeting place of the unity of the faith that was Jerusalem. Hey, Ephesians says that a true prophet will work for the unity of the faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, even the full measure and stature of how about agreement with Messiah beyond all the alienated misideals of the nations. I'm talking about Ephesians 3, 6 through 16 through, going all the way out to 4:13 to 4:17. That means we must seek the Most High beyond all the varying ways of the nations who have never come together to fully agree. What really happened when Rome destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD? I'd like to get into this a bit, but there's still a lot more about what I was talking about I want to talk about still. Rome never had any idea or intent, my brothers and sisters, initially to create a church per se. Never had initial ideals, my brothers and sisters, to establish a place of sanctuary against the lies of this world, a place where people continually grow in the monotheist principles of the people that were called Hebrew. Rome came from the West being polytheist after many gods, having no concept of one Most High. They came into the East not to bring the faith, my brothers and sisters, our faith in one, a steadfastness unto the will of one, but to destroy faith after the intrusion of the multitude of their ideas. And Rome actually considered what the apostles were preaching forth, even when Messiah preached, under the conversion of the nations, the changing of the hearts toward the perfect will of Yah. Rome saw that as an immediate threat against Roman authority. So Rome came into the East, I said, not to bring the faith, but to destroy it. And being perturbed about the idea that men were turning away from the false gods of the nations in the dispensation of the gospel, they say the true word from on high beyond all the nations. And being perturbed, Rome came in and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. The very fact that Rome continued to murderously persecute believers, even for the next, I mean, I'm talking about the rate of like 500 a day. Mercilessly, tyrannically, systematically, seeking out to murder and destroy believers, proves, my brothers and sisters, that Roman intents were not unto preserving the truth of the faith. And in that the citadel, the temple for the unity of the faith, for those who did believe and came to Jerusalem each year, from all the nations, and that place was destroyed. My brothers and sisters, great instability resulted. People couldn't communicate amongst each other to be assured that they were true to the will of one. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, Messiah actually said that after Jerusalem was destroyed, prophesying it would be destroyed, they said there would be a rise of false prophets, a rise of partial testimony, men not wanting to admit the fall, being from faith in the will of one, had occurred, not realizing how much man still yet to had to overcome the misconceits all that he was already being taught amongst the nations. Man not willing to recognize that fullness of pure and perfect love unto the Most High that is necessary. Men have done nothing less than in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, sought to call themselves wise or sufficient enough in wisdom. After a multitude of partial standards that were never true, that all the Most High requires, that we all reason together, agreed as one with Him. Do we dare to believe, my brothers and sisters, when the scripture warns against the double-mindedness and the hypocrisy, the unholy, my brothers and sisters, double-minded, fallen standards of the nation, when the scripture warns against these, dare we think, my brothers and sisters, that if we choose to ask the Most High for no more than what is common among the nations, disagreed, that we should yet have an agreement? Oh, I could talk about the scriptures, my brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 45. It talks about those who in vain took refuge among the nations, not seeking fully in all things the Most High, even ultimately Messiah, who the scripture says, I did not tell you to seek me after the vain ideals of this earth. He said, it is I, the Lord, who speak righteousness, who declares the things that are right. Well, my brothers and sisters, I dare tell you that one of the titles for the Messiah, as he called himself, the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. Because men have not understood what that title reflected and what it meant to the people of the early church, as is written in Revelation 22:16. Because men have not understood the meaning and with the expectation as it regards that title, men have trusted all manner of lawlessness, all manner of misadministrations on the part of the rulers. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, if we go back and read the scriptures closely, we'll find that every single bit of prophecy relating to the return of Messiah talks about man being in very much a state of depraved conscience, so depraved that he would not recognize at first Messiah in his appearing. If you think I'm kidding, look at scriptures like those at Zephaniah 2:15 to 3 and 6. Scriptures like Zephaniah, I repeat, 2:15 to 3 and 6 to 13 and 20. Isaiah 50, 10, no, how about you go Isaiah 51 through 5? Why, when I came, was there no man? Scripture talks about Messiah coming, speaking a word that's not fallen short, but the lawless, those who prefer unrighteousness, those who don't seek all divine will, would not recognize their shame and not hearkening or recognizing it is he. I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. If the scriptures relating Messiah's first return, he would not find faith in the earth, would not find man and all things true to his will, that he comes to restore that knowledge. The very fact that the leaders, I want you to hear me, have not prepared man to fully understand the righteousness of the Most High as revealed in Messiah means that the, quite frankly, the rulers have done a very piss poor job. I said the leaders have done a very poor job in preparing the people to discern the higher wisdom of the Most High that he would reveal in Messiah. Isaiah 28 said, to whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand the report? People not considering that everything the Most High said, he says nothing without reason. Realizing that everything the Most High just prepares you for another dimension of truth yet to be revealed. He said, because men had not considered all things the Most High said, line upon line, precept upon precept. Not realizing the Most High never says anything that is not cohesive to all that is his knowledge. Men not seeking to see how it all works together. He said, to whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand the report? Those weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast. In other words, not ready for strong meat. Let's just say word that has fiber. Oh, my brother, that's deep, intense fiber that demands that these concepts be chewed up well, to be digested, to be absorbed for the good of a body. My brothers and sisters, the scripture says, some texts say it this way, he will come within people with a difficult speech. Not just a speech, my brothers and sisters, or a testimony that men most are not prepared to hear, but not prepared to hear because it said it'd be a terror and a vexation for many to understand his report. For what many call doctrine, the cloth is too short, the warp is weak, insufficient for a garment. But he comes to restore things, my brothers and sisters, with a more excellent testimony. I'm talking about Isaiah 28. When the scripture says a difficult speech, my brothers and sisters, it means he comes with a word with which the people are not familiar. A recognition of what the cumulative meaning and purpose of the holy words are that most have not considered. Did you ever consider, my brothers and sisters, again, that it's because men have not discerned that the first admonition of the Most High is that he must have it in his heart? A love, a discretion, desires to do all that is divine will. The scriptures in the book of Jacob, they call it James, also calls it if men walk after the, let's just say, ideal seeming wise to men, seeming to have worth and prestige before men, after the nobility, saying there was not many among the nobility that were a part of the church, amongst the congregants. They said if they walked after those who esteemed the ideas of the worldly status quo, my brothers and sisters, they insult the purpose, even the holy name for which they are called, because men are called in the holy name to seek the will of Yah beyond all unholiness, beyond all partial standards. And the scripture says if we break that law of reason, law of faith, seeking always the exceeding will of Yah, if we become stagnated after something less, the scripture actually calls it unmerciful. I want you to hear me what I mean by that. To seek always to do what offers men best example is a flowing, if you will, paying forward, if you will, of the kindness of the Most High. And that the Most High, he said, would purge out the rebels and those who have a rebellious heart not to do all his will, not to do what is required, the only path and plan after which, did you hear me, there might be universal peace in this world. If man chooses the misexample to deceive his brother, seeking to give license to misideals, the scripture says that's not the kindness of the Most High. That's not the mercy of the Most High. And if man truly has love for his brother, he will seek to do right, to be the best example to his brother. That is the principle that is called the Shema, that the Most High is one. We all seek all his will together. The Hebrew word, my brothers and sisters, for Shema, that we all seek the Most High to be one, to reason together. Well, like I said, heaven is called Shamaim in Hebrew. The people who keep that Shema principle, that Shema principle, that we all be the best example to one another, helping one another to learn and retain a true sense of conscience with which the Most High be pleased. And the scripture even goes as far as to say that whoever does not deal mercifully will be shown no mercy. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, those scriptures are also at Isaiah 30. They're talking about the breaking of a potter's vessel, that all corrupt ideals will one day be esteemed as something to be broken and cast aside. Scriptures actually say, my brothers and sisters, whoever will not hearken to the word of the prophets, and I want you to hear me, a true prophet works for the unity of the faith. It's Ephesians, like I told you before in the third chapter, for the unity of the faith, all coming to one standard. But what about a man chooses to tell the Most High their truths he doesn't want to hear? Shall man still be made and all things wise? Shall it be counted in all things wise? Or is it, my brothers and sisters, that made man believe he has a right not to want to see all that is necessary to restore peace in the earth brought to bear? From the very beginning, my brothers and sisters, man was calling to purpose to shame one who chose to rebel, who chose not to listen, who chose not to give attention to all wise instruction, who felt that he was could be counted wise, not seeking the Most High in all he said and did. My brothers and sisters, man was made to put shame to that demon. Did you hear me? By choosing not to follow what is, what just seems right to the masses. But men compromise ideals all the time. But the man, my brothers and sisters, might choose having the choice between not preserving the integrity of a command and seeking to see the higher dimensions of command. A man might do what the Most High leads along the path of righteousness, that man might in all things be made complete. But I'm going to tell you something. Quite frankly, man has hardly kept the commandments of the Most High. I know he says the commandments, say they keep the commandments, but keep also means preserve his instruction. Men take these words and twist them all kind of which ways. And I need you to understand, man, trust me, there are those who have to all kind of varying ideas and allegiances and think they keep the commandments of the Most High. And they preserve the integrity of the initial word. Not so. Like I said, when Rome destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the meeting place of the unity of the faith, man has gone after all kind of varying directions. And men, flattering men, to believe that they have lost nothing, have continually remained short of so much. And quite frankly, if you read your scriptures very closely, you'll find the scripture says that once Rome destroyed Jerusalem and man became subject to all these fallen standards, that nothing would fully restore mankind to the sure wisdom of the Most High till Messiah himself returns. And quite frankly, the rulers didn't want you to know that, because if you did know that, you would seek beyond them. World would have long ago come to agreement if man had done what the Most High said you should do. And men would know not to fully just trust whatever these so-called pastors have to say. They would look and seek the scriptures and seek the Most High as the Most High told me. He said, whatever you hear, see, read, or anything else from these people, he said, you better ask me first, or someone will make a fool of you, i.e. deceive you, not to perceive all that you need yet to receive, that you might believe in him. What I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, men like skimming the surface of an idea. But that does not mean, my brothers and sisters, they have kept the integrity of a highly implicative, holy word. If the words of the Most High, the thoughts of the Most High, are very deep, Psalm 92, about 5-6. The thoughts of the Most High are very deep. The brutish man will not understand this. Men have said they kept the commands. Men have said they've quoted what is often figuratively called the Lord's Prayer. I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, man has not been true to either. Whoa, I can hear somebody say, how is this guy there to say that? I want you to listen to me closely. First command says, I'm the Most High who led you out of the land of Egypt. Egypt was a polytheist territory, serving many other gods, many other ideas they call deity. Most High did not want the imaginations of others to interfere with man coming to the truth of his instruction. Therefore, he brought his people out of Egypt, out from the midst of this confusion, that they might serve him. One scripture says, He would bring his people out of Egypt, even into the wilderness, that they may keep a feast unto him. How about learn how to reason together as one, true to the Most High? And if man was being neglectful in any way, even Israel was being in any way neglectful, not to seek the fullness of the will of the Most High, was called a provocation, a temptation in the wilderness. Hey, the Shabbat was declared unto the remembrance, the completing in the mind, all the Most High declared, and say, if man did not focus unto this fullness, it was called the provocation in the wilderness, the temptation in the wilderness. For the word of Yah, fully as it is, at 4:2, Hebrews says, is the gospel. Scripture says that word is like a sharp two-edged sword. How about in its fullness? It's like a sharp two-edged sword, able to discern the difference between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's not part of the word that discerns. Ultimately, it's part of the word that fully discerns the intents of the heart, but all of it. Yah, his very name means that he is all that he is. People want to be judged by partial standards. That's like saying the Most High is no longer the owner or the judge. That's like saying the Most High is no longer the Savior, that some other standard is enough to make man whole. My brothers and sisters, faith in the Most High. The scripture says, let no man consider himself wise before the time when the Messiah is revealed to show again the hidden things that men have not considered. And then every man should know how to please and praise Yah. I'm talking about 2 Corinthians. Well, how about the second chapter of 1 Corinthians? Man seeking and understanding the will of Yah beyond the nations. Seeking to discern even the deep things of Yah. Oh, I wish I had time to go through all these things. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter. Eyes of men have not seen nor heard the glory, the fullness, fully the honor, what is honorable before Yah. Why? If you read Isaiah 64, it says, because men have fallen after the ways of various nations and ideals, that never sought to reason fully after the will of one. The first command said we didn't have any other aberrant thoughts amongst us after the ways of men. And that he should be supreme in the minds of us all. But my brothers and sisters, if that were the case, the divisions we see amongst us wouldn't even exist. So I ask you, man even kept the first command? As man sought the Most High to be true to him, discerning him with all the mind, heart, soul, and might that we all agree, has man kept that command? If he had, my brothers and sisters, there'd be order in the earth. There wouldn't be so many contentions. There wouldn't be so many oppositions. There wouldn't be so many differences of opinion. 2nd command. You should not make for yourself any manner of anything, any idol, if you will. Anything in heaven above or earth below. My brothers and sisters, what men have imagined to create, have they sought all that is divine will in so doing? Or have men sought to exalt something of the creation more than the Creator? What has man done? Hey, men have thought to call the very sun, S-U-N, in the sky, God. Did it ever instruct them along the lines of what is fully divine will? Is it a creation or is it the creator or is it the creation? Which, my brothers and sisters, which? Men have thought to look at certain attributes of certain animals even. And given special honor to the attributes of some animal more than the fullness of what is divine will, the will of the Maker. Scripture even goes and talks about those who would establish such partial standards that have not been those who loved them. And that men have, how about despised him if he would reveal the fullness that he requires. So I want you to think about that, my brother. Have man even kept the first, second command? He says, should not take his name in vain. We don't imagine him after the idols, after human imagination. We seek divine instruction at all times. We don't call upon his name not to see all his will made manifest. Well, like I said, Scripture says Messiah in his return will show man how in many ways he has fallen short of what is honorable before the Most High. There are many who read that scripture in Psalms 14 and Psalm 53 and entirely miss the point. It says, men have not known how much more they needed to seek Yah. Therefore, they followed after those who teach them to do evil. Wow. Who out of Zion? Amongst those who will be the faithful sheep of the Most High, who out of Zion will bring salvation, oneness of mind and heart to Israel? And that day the people shall be glad, shall be blessed, shall be one, shall rejoice. After one understanding shall be at peace. But there are those who say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And the first thing they think that means is that man in a fallen state of conscience that has not given glory or honor unto the Most High, but unto another in transgression, is somehow okay. I will tell you again, every single bit of prophecy in the Bible that forecasts Messiah's return relates the idea that there's a serious need for man to be restored to conscience, restored to awareness of what is divine will. But there are those who prefer fatal flatterers, that they have pride, abominable pride, unwilling to be converted, unwilling to be shapen and molded unto the greater purpose for which man was made. There are those who would rather have pride after their own designs, own idea of conscience, own idea of awareness. Is that faith in Yah, my brothers and sisters? Is that allowing the Most High to convert the mind and heart? I actually ran into a group right here in this city, called themselves the Maranatha Society. And I knew I was in the wrong place when I heard one of the guys said that they don't have to love the will of the Most High to be saved. My brothers and sisters, learning to love all that is the will of Yah is salvation. You think, man, my brothers and sisters, rebellious against seeing all the will of Yah is cooperation? Mutual cooperation among his people, a mutual sense of love amongst all his people. Yeah, those are my brothers and sisters right here in this city. I'm in Houston, Texas. Well, I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, there are those in this city that actually under the auspices of what might be considered one of the most influential churches on earth. And I'm not talking about the Catholic. I'm talking about somebody who deals with folks in every single denomination, some of every religion. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about. And well, it was his group they called the Maranatha Society that said we don't have to love all that is divine will to be saved, to be called whole, to be called steadfast, to be called complete before the Most High. So in other words, what is he saying? That man somehow has the right to despise something the Most High declared and still be called faithful and true unto him? Doesn't sound like a reason to me. I was shocked when I heard somebody say that. I thought it was a satire. I thought it was jest. But they meant it with a very intense seriousness in their eye. Why? Because they wanted to have power to influence folk, to flatter folk from every manner of belief and reap the material rewards. My brothers and sisters, the end result is that these people have been subject to robbers who believe this, who perpetuated an avocation of robbery. It's kind of like the mafia, my brothers and sisters, relationship with the priest in Catholicism for so long. I don't think it hadn't been going on with the Protestants as well. I find it amazing that a lot of the people in the mafia feel like they can bring so-called indulgences to the priest who's supposed to be working for the people to get out of purgatory. But wait a minute. Hold on now. they feel that they can, some of these criminals feel like they can extort the people. And as long as they pay the priest, who's supposed to be working for the people, which is, and that they don't seek the full will of the Most High, that's an hypocrisy in itself. They feel that somehow being crooks, paying crooks, that somehow they'll be excused of being crooks. Now, my brothers and sisters, it makes no sense. There's a lot of folks who look for flatterers among the churches, willing to pay them big money. What does Scripture say in Isaiah 30? They take their riches on the backs of camels. That means they take all their, there's so much of their labor, so much of their energy, they take it on the backs of camels to a people. How about leaders who won't profit them towards salvation at all? And the end result of what they do would only be confusion, sitting still, never learning the way of righteousness. The Scripture says the breaking of such institutions that won't hear the word of a prophet who will reprove such things. Most High told me a prophet is sent to speak what others would not. He said that those who would not hear a word of a prophet, who would not hear fullness of divine instruction, he said the breaking shall be as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken without pity. Understand what that means. A lot of times they use pottery, baked goods out of the earth, out of the material of the earth. But my brothers and sisters, after a while, those earthen pots became scored, became tainted with the pollutions of the earth. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, after they become full of much corruption, for man to continue to eat out of them, or to say he can preserve anything in it, would only make him ill. Well, there are times, my brothers and sisters, Most High says he must bring an end to that which preserves corruption. I say he must bring an end to that which preserves corruption, that men partake of what is clean, what is pure, what is truly nutritive toward the health and life of a body. Oh, I wish I had time to go through Isaiah 28, 29, 30 with you closely. But the Scriptures say, finally, when the Most High vents his wrath upon all nations, Isaiah 34, who haven't been partial in teaching of his law, it says a Savior will come. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 35? To open the eyes of those whose eyes have been blinded, and to open the ears of those whose ears have been stopped. A Savior says is coming to save you. Then the eyes of the blind should be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Well, my brothers and sisters, we live in a society that somehow, after various allegiances, wants to believe that men can be called righteous after whatever some pastor, not true to the Great Commission to teach all things, some pastor not true to that commission, they feel like they'd be justified, corrected justly after such partialities. Not recognizing who in Isaiah 44, 45, the Scripture said would justify all people in seeking to complete all that is divine pleasure. Not understanding that Scripture in Isaiah 45 ratifies what Messiah said in Revelation 22:16, when he said, I'm the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. The one who the Scripture said would reveal the light of the world, and his leaders would obscure. That one who would expose all and put an end to all the darkness, all the confusion. That one who would expose those who would hide the greater truth from you. And my brothers and sisters, in so many respects, it talks about how the people, blind leading the blind, both falling into the pit, because for so long, men have not been diligent to seek the whole truth. As the Scripture says over in Isaiah 24, as with the leaders, so with the people, having followed after confusion. But it says one day someone will appear. The Messiah will appear. The blindness that's covered all nations should be no more. If men have walked after and even sought to give or say limit the character of the Most High, after the designs that men have made. My brothers and sisters, who is it that men have honored? I want you to think about that for a minute. Fourth command talks about keeping the day of the Most High declared that men be made complete unto all that is divine will. I see a lot of folks call themselves gathering in congregations, but have they sought all that is divine will? And they never kept a day holy after the purity of what is the mind and will of Yah. Isaiah speaks of this in Isaiah 56, talking about man must exceed his thoughts, seeking the righteousness of Yah, even the son of the stranger, even the Gentile. That all seeking to keep the Shabbat completely, to completely keep the covenant, will give have a name as great in sons and as sons and daughters, that at last, my brothers and sisters, shall Most High have unto his praise a house of one praise, one petition, one prayer among all people. If men have not functioned with this structure in mind, my brothers and sisters, have they honored the ancient Hebrew fathers? Say, honor your father and mother, but he's talking about going back to the faithful ones. Have they honored them who gave their very lives or lived their entire lives pursuing the truth? And through to them, Abraham sought the perfect will of Yah and said his children must do the same. Say, Abraham, I know him well. He would teach his children the commandments and statutes and laws of the Most High. Well, I ask the question, have men taught that law in the context of maintaining pure and perfect order? And what men have kept, my brothers and sisters, has been the misrule, the misinterpretation, the misadministrations of man, not true to what is truly lawful before the Most High. I want you to think about something. If man has not functioned with that in mind, he has indeed, my brothers and sisters, not honored the ancient heritage, not been worthy of it. Indeed, he has lied. He has stolen. Is murdered with his tongue, my brothers and sisters. Oftentimes men willing to compromise the word of the Most High so that they may rob the Most High of the authority and the honor that's due unto him. People talk about what is called the so-called Lord's Prayer. Wow. Some people say they have prayed it, and some of you know about the idea about it. It used to be in schools. Everybody prayed that every morning. Amazingly, right before praying the Pledge of Allegiance, as if the ideals of this nation and all its differences are somehow true to the one Most High. Well, that's a lie. Set that in point right off the top. That's a lie. I want you to think about this, my brothers and sisters. Please do. Our Father. Wow. Have people all thought about the idea that they need to all be true to one Father after one central gamut of teaching? Our Father, who art the Most High, in Shamaim, where all keep the Shema, having a love for seeking all that is divine will, preserving all that is divine will, defending all that is divine will forever. Our Father, who is part in the kingdom of Shamaim, keeping the Shema, loving all that is necessary that the people always be one. Loving, my brothers and sisters, all that is necessary that one day heaven and earth, you have to one mind, one, having one love, one devotion. One heaven, hallowed, holy, true to the will of one, be his name. Oh, in other words, man should never take his name and divide it along the lines of something that either seeks less than his will or would add any corruption to it, or would seek to serve two masters. In other words, understand, if you take anything away from his will, you're seeking to serve hypocritically something other than him as he is. The Most High is not to be considered one to be divided. And I know it sounds funny, but they call, some people want to give Messiah the title of a Jesus or Christ or Jesus. Let me tell you something. Messiah was never called by any of those times, any of those titles, to Rome, soldiers thought to impugn them upon the Messiah, after a Jesus Christos, a false concept of deity, polytheist concept of deity that was already in the minds of the Romans, seeking to appease all their variant many gods, defying all the commands. Heaven help us all to discern better. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. That means true unto him. Don't seek to associate his name with anything less. Seek all his will. Then one Psalm 119 says, I will love, seek thee, I will praise thee, will honor thee. Praise, honor. Love, worship thee with a whole heart. When I've learned thy statutes, we live in a society today that hey, people think that whatever little they get is all they need to know. And are proud of it. Well, my brothers and sisters, men become proud and no longer become shapeable. They want to remain steadfast after their own ideas. They forget, my brothers and sisters, from the very beginning, man was created to choose, seek, choose what is right. And only those who have it in their heart to choose what is right will be part of that holy kingdom, true to partakership in the prize of those found worthy unto the holy name. That title, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High has put upon the contract of peace. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, the Most High signs no contract that he did not write. I want you to think about this, my brothers and sisters. Holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Wow. Thy kingdom come. Let it be that dominion under one king shall become, and that fact not just only come on earth, but shall appear, be manifest, fully revealed on earth. On earth, my brothers and sisters, as it is in Shamaim. It's amazing that the coming kingdom of Yah is called Shamaim. Even as heaven itself, where the Father is dwelling in the heavens, is also called Shamaim. That means that all are to obey him who was most anciently called the Lord of light and matter, that he would have dominion both over the realms of the spirit and the realms in the material realms as well. It must have been something those ancients knew. That is the purpose of mind. That is the purpose of man, to give honor unto the Most High, to shame a devil. Must have been something they understood long ago, my brothers and sisters. That's the purpose of man. Give us this day our daily bread. Wow. Do you really think, my brothers and sisters, that's just physical food? It is. But man needs more than that. Man lives on more than just bread alone, but by every word. There is instruction that proceeds from the mouth of the Most High Yah. It means give us instruction that we do what, my brothers and sisters? Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors. My brothers and sisters, if we have it first in our minds, not to seek eye for an eye, but that we all discern eye to eye. If we all seek rather than to forsake one another, I mean, I ask you a question. This is family we're talking about. Do you want to see it divided? Do you want it healed and made one? Do you want it restored? Or do you want those you love to remain divided? I want you to think about it. It says forgive means don't leave one another with intent for division when the hope should be for coming to common understanding, wanting to come to common understanding. At the end of that prayer, it says if we do not forgive our brothers, Heavenly Father will not forgive us because understand what is for his purpose. It said, blessed are the peacemakers. Talks about those who are meek in heart, desirous. For what is necessary, that we all be one, shall inherit the earth. Forgive us our debtors, we forgive our debtors. They put down something there that is not correct. Oh, yeah, I know it's not a lot of people say that. Why can he dare say that? Well, Jacob 1:13 says that let no man think that he is tempted by the Most High. Man is tempted by let's just say his lust, his flesh, his material, rather than spiritual. Let's just say adherence to spiritual nature. And when man gives himself over the temptation to do that which is not expedient, not wise, not true unto divine will. When he gives himself over to such thoughts, it manifests error, my brothers and sisters. Many are too proud to admit it as such. And the end result, my brothers and sisters, can be a corruption that some people live their entire life never overcoming. Well, I want you to think about something. That scripture should better say this. Lead us beyond all temptation. Grant us that spiritual wisdom, that spiritual bread, that we won't fall for those things that might otherwise tempt us. That we not do the evil. Some of you might need to go back and look at Jacob James 1:13 through around 1:16 and see what those scriptures are really talking about there. Like scripture says, Messiah was tempted and brought into a fleshly body and tempted as anyone was in the flesh. But he overcame that temptation. One scripture says he grew to become perfect, enduring beyond temptations, if you will. And became the author of life everlasting to those who obey him, who will not submit themselves constantly to aberrant thoughts and ideas. One scripture talks about how the adversary is called the tempter, and he did even seek to tempt Messiah to do evil in the wilderness. Messiah resisted him. And one scripture talked about how those who will seek all divine, all that is divine will, holding steadfast to divine will, the Most High says, well, the scripture says, the adversary will flee from you, flee from him. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Those who hold steadfast to the truth have a word that rebukes the devil. I can only tell you something real quickly because I'm looking at my time, and I know this is going to be a show that I'm going to have to do more of it later. But I remember very early on in awakening, that old adversary came to me talking about that idea about how foolish I had been. Well, Most High knew that my heart wanted to do better. And Most High gave me a word. Put that old devil to shame. He said, next time that sucker comes around, you tell him as far as someone being foolish, that he was the first fool. All my brothers and sisters, I wish we had more time. I'm looking at my time. I got about 3 minutes left in this show to talk about all these things. But those scriptures are actually saying that we should petition the Most High in the midst of temptations not to fall for those things that tempt us to do what is not wise. That we should seek what is steadfast. The scripture says, though we be scattered among the nations, let faith have its perfect work, that we not waver, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Romans, some text actually says, bear the burdens of the weak, but not unto doubtful disputations, not that we waver in our reason, that we recognize that the Most High ultimately, read the 14th to the 15th chapter, that we all be persuaded as one mind, always seeking to do what is better, recognizing there will be one judgment seat rather than men seek to judge one another according to lesser standards, recognize we all be judged by one who has power to give us strength to seek beyond every anomaly, every fallen standard. Even that we recognize that all that is written of old is for our learning, that we through patience and faith, perseverance, strengthen the scriptures and the inspired word, a word from above, might have hope. Even, my brothers and sisters, that Jew and Gentile alike be like-minded, obedient in word and deed. And trust me, my brothers and sisters, that is not according to the varying designs of Gentile nations who never sought to reason as one. Isaiah 59. Talks about a world without a standard, having no intercessor, no one want to intercede for restoration according to all that is pure and perfect before you. Isaiah 41, the same. Oh, wow, there's that 90-second warning. Well, the scriptures go as far as to talk about the idea about one who comes to declare, indeed, what is righteousness, one who comes to restore, one who sets a standard. And it talks about the idea that when Most High brings Israel first to that standard, the nation that will not and follow that standard, that light, that pure and perfect word, that nation will perish, which means Most High intends to remove everything that would be an obstacle against the awakening of human conscience. If we understood it, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures tell us in 4 and 2 Hebrews that Moses preached the gospel, a word beyond all nations. even unto the restoration of mankind being made complete before the Most High. And I wish I had time to explain more about that fourth chapter of Hebrews. Third chapter said, we made true to this covenant that we hold, may hold partakers in this covenant, we hold steadfast to this true covenant. That means hold steadfast to the agreement. The agreement from the beginning that the Most High would deliver unto all his prize those who, hearing the truth, would choose to remain true to him. All my brothers and sisters, I wish I had time to talk more about this, and I look forward to another show speaking more about this, more concisely. But until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, I will tell you this. This is Eddie Miab, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Thank the Most High for every year that he brings near. Under his might, under his honor, and his praise always, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again, yes I do, for listening. For men, if they were true to the expectation of Messiah as he is, would know to seek Yah and trust in him beyond all that men have said, for the hope of the restorer.